It's a very critical day we're in, and I don't know, a couple of the scriptures that came to me today were not so much of the encouraging side of things, but maybe a little more on the exhorting side, which in the day we're in is a very serious time. And one of the verses that came to me today was a couple of them, actually, but one of them is Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. But I would encourage everyone to read from the beginning of the chapter 10 to maybe the whole chapter. It's a prophetic chapter of where we are. Whatever state Israel was at any given time in their history is usually repeated in the church because men's hearts are the same. Men's hearts don't change. Men take the truths of God, and given enough time and enough leeway, they make his word something other than what it is. And the church, as Israel, would decline and come to such a place where they think they're doing well with God, and God comes on the scene and states something unequivocally different. And this is a verse that I've always, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it's a verse that I've always held very dear to my own heart and apply it to my own heart. And yet, in spending time with it today, I realized I kind of missed half of, well, hundreds of percent what God is saying here. And we are, this verse is given to Israel. And if you read the verses prior to it, it starts off in chapter 10, verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased, I'm going to paraphrase here, he has increased his idolatry. The more Israel became affluent, the more it strayed from the things of God. And so, what is an empty vine? The newer translations actually translate it, the King James, they translated an empty vine because of the context of it. The newer translations, like the ESV, will say Israel is a luxurious vine. And there's no contradiction in that. The contradiction is that Israel being luxuriant and having pretty well anything and everything it wanted, it became empty because all of its fruit came to himself rather than to God. And so God looks down, and his word to us is that, you know, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And but it's a fruit that's unto him, not unto ourselves. So anyway, we could spend quite a bit of time, and maybe we'll see how the Lord works in us, but I would encourage everybody to read this chapter in different translations and hold it up before the Lord, because you'll see a parallel to where we are today. And also Jeremiah chapter 4 as well. But anyway, let's we'll stay on track, or I will try here. Which let's go to verse 12 here. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. It wasn't until this morning that I used to read this, sow to yourselves righteousness. That's how I used to read that. But in really spending time in the Hebrew this morning, sow to yourselves in righteousness. So as I was thinking about that, you can, you know, we got a lot of people preaching the gospel today. But their sowing is not in righteousness. People sow, we can sow the word of God to where our attitude is, oh, I want a bigger church. Our attitude is, I want to profit from my sowing. So I want people to recognize how spiritual I am. So in my sowing, I'm not sowing in righteousness. I've got ulterior motives in the reason I'm sowing the word of God to someone else is for my own gain. And that is directly related to chapter 10, verse 1, that says, Israel is an empty vine because he brings forth fruit to himself. So God always wants you and I to be purified in our motives, that the things we do, the things that we sow and seek to sow into the lives of others, is for God's benefit, that he would receive the glory and the honor and the obedience of our hearts. So that's the beginning of this thing. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. And really, in the Hebrew, if you take this to its depth, it means that by the mercy of God, you'll reap. All of our reaping is because of God's mercy. So not only do we sow out of a right heart, but we reap not unto ourselves. We don't go, man, that was awesome. Brian, you went out there and sowed and 20 people came to the Lord. Nice job. But the true heart recognizes that whatever fruit comes out of our sowing is because of the sheer mercy of God. We are totally at his mercy, that in our sowing, it's because of his mercy that we reap, that we see lives changed, and that we honor him in all that we do. So sow to yourselves in righteousness, recognizing that any reaping that comes from it is because of the sheer mercy of God. And then, this is powerful, break up your fallow ground. We sow in righteousness. We're doing it out of the right heart and attitude. We're holding up the righteousness of God. We are sowing for his glory in the life of another. We reap because of his mercy. And then God comes on the scene and says, break up your fallow ground. What does that mean, to break up your fallow ground? Fallow ground is ground that has been left to rest. And it was part of the law of God in Israel. We'll read about that in Deuteronomy and throughout the Old Testament. And there's places where God says you don't, for a whole year, certain places, the soil was not to be sown. It was to bring rest to the land and allow it to become fertile again. But what happens with unfallowed ground or fallow ground is that it grows weeds, and we get overgrown with weeds, and now that we're at that place, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, because fallow ground is untilled ground. It's ground that has been resting, and in our own walk with God, places that we don't visit. There's places in our lives that begin to grow weeds because our attention is elsewhere, or we think we're kind of doing pretty good and we're coasting. And so in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So we get a soil that's growing weeds. The church, as we look at the church today, we've got a very weedy church. Sin has infiltrated the church of Jesus Christ. There is a slackness in our dealings with ourselves and with one another. And God says to Jeremiah, tell my people not to sow to thorns. What does that mean? Well, we got a gospel today that says, hey, you're forgiven. Chill out over all the thistles and the thorns that are growing in your land. What are we doing? We're sowing forgiveness in areas that God says, I never intended my forgiveness to be sown into your thorns. I never intended my people to compromise with sin. Forgiveness is not God's answer to my disobedience. That's not what it's given for. It's given that we might break up our fallow ground, that we might begin to ask God to invade our lives and to take the weeds and the thorns and the hard places, places that we're dealing with in our lives that don't respond to the Word of God. So what does it say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? We wrestle against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And where does all that warfare take place? But in our minds. And there is a weariness that sets in with God's people. You just sit down after a while and you go, it is what it is. And God is saying, no, break up your fallow ground. Break up those areas that need my seed to fall into. And fallow ground, God's remedy is to break it up with the plow and for us to plow deep into the recesses of our heart, that he might sow seeds that will take root in the deep areas of our hearts, that we begin to bear fruit unto him. The call of God is not for us to take comfort in forgiveness. Forgiveness is given that we might turn to the Lord. What is some of the things that forgiveness brings? It brings brokenness. Brokenness is one of the most powerful places a heart can be. And so you read Psalm 51 of David repenting of the travesty of what he did. And there is a brokenness there that God looks down and can sow into his broken heart the life of the Son, so that we are made whole. And God says in Isaiah, to this one will I look, to him that is broken and contrite of spirit and trembleth at my word. Forgiveness is never given for us to become brash. It's never given for us to become reconciled with areas in our life that aren't producing fruit. And so God's word to us, especially in this hour, I'll keep saying this, but you read Hosea chapter 10, it's the parallel of where we are today. And the same with Jeremiah chapter 4. So sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves with right attitude. Let the forgiveness of God break up your ground that he might sow seed into your hearts, that there are no thorns. There are no places that the weeds of self can grow and walk in something other than the great and beautiful spirit of Christ himself. And listen to what it says. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time. We are in a day of great upheaval. Evil is arising in our land. Governments are falling into wickedness. Righteousness is soon going to be considered evil in our land. It's already moving to that. So what does God say in light of all that? He says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the face of God. It is time now, before the storm fully breaks. It's time for you and me to seek God. For how long? How long is it time for? For it is time to seek the Lord. Here's one of the most powerful words in the scriptures. Until he comes. Until who comes? Until the person of Christ comes into your heart in a way that renders all self-will obsolete. It's time until. The problem with, and I know some of you have been seeking, for example, the baptism of the Spirit. Well, you seek him until he comes. You don't let up in your pursuit of him until he comes. And what is he going to do? He's going to rain righteousness into your heart. So here you are, you break up your soil. God sows seed. And then he comes as the rain that righteousness may grow out of the earth. And so it says in James and Peter, for the husbandman, King James, the husbandman waiteth for what? The precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for the fruit of your hearts to bring forth fruits of righteousness, fruits that are sincere and pure. And boy, this morning I was thinking of that. Powerful truth. Any truth that desensitizes your heart to sin is not a truth. Don't search the scriptures for provisions for sin, because you will not find it. God's forgiveness is to bring you out of yourself into the place of living right, being right, and doing right. And I, like this last Friday, I got really discouraged, and I just, there's just no excuse for it. I had sort of got my hopes up on something, and those moments are not allowed in God. I don't have the right to get under my circumstances, because God has made a way for me to remain and to live and to walk in righteousness. And so God wants to, he's calling us to break up, and listen to what it says here, break up your fallow ground. See, we have to take ownership of the condition of our own hearts. There is no one else that can present your heart before the Lord. No preacher can do for you what you need to do. And that's the fallacy of religion. Fallacy of religion is some guy tells me I'm okay, so I'm okay. The power of truth is it brings you to the place of accountability before God. And in that accountability, we have a God who has made provision for our waywardness. We have a God who's made provision for you and I to walk in the purity of his being. He died for you. He purchased you. He's seeking to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Holy living comes from his Holy Spirit. Not the power of you, but the power of him in you. And so we break up our fallow ground. We allow the plow of the Word of God to rip up the soil of our hearts. And God comes along and he plants seeds that are filled with the glory and the life of the Son, that out of our earth may spring forth righteousness. So we read in the parable of the sower that the seed was sown on hard ground. It was sown in ground, just like what Jeremiah says, don't sow among thorns. Where one of the places that seed fell that's in the parable of the sower? It fell in thorns and thistles. And it got choked out by what? The cares of this world. And, God says, don't sow in your thorns. Prepare your soil that those thorns are no longer there, that his seed might take root. And it says in Hebrews that God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. But what does that rain produce in the unjust? Thorns and thistles. But the rain of God in you is to bring forth precious fruit for his reaping and for his glory. And we never want to relax in the issues of our heart. We want to be a diligent people, because it doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter how well I know the scriptures. I have to sow to my heart in righteousness. We exhort one another. We preach to one another. Why? So that God may have a people that love him purely and sincerely. And so let's go to Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. And I was encouraged with Jordan because of there's a desire to preach righteousness. There's a desire to begin to exhort others in the life and the purposes of God. And what does that spring out of? That springs out of a right seed finding heart. And so 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. So, what does he say here? But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. There's a weariness sometimes that sets in with all of us in well-doing. We get weary of seeking God. We get weary of the strain of warfare. And part of the reason we fellowship with one another is to encourage each other to stay in the battle, and to continue to seek God until he comes. Seeking God isn't some religious exercise that it's just this ongoing thing of seeking him and never finding. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. He didn't say you might find, cross your fingers, hope to find. He's given you a specific promise. And that promise is wrapped up in his, in the verity of him, of himself. Seek and ye shall find. Do not grow weary in well-doing. And Paul said this to the Galatians as well in chapter 6, verse 9. But he adds something to it. And Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there is a, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is, in King James says patience. It's actually, the better word is endurance. The fruit of the Spirit is an enduring pursuit of seeking God, doing well, and not growing weary. Not growing weary is one of the fruits of the Spirit of God in you. Because if the motive is pure, so will be the ability to endure in it. But if we're seeking for ourselves only, that might not last very long. We'll find something else to fill our lives with. And so, grow not weary in well-doing. And here's a powerful verse to tie in with all this. And these are scriptures that'll get you in trouble. I know all about this. Is in Philippians 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, where we read, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Read the next verse. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Boy, you start reading these scriptures in the context. Don't weary in speaking truth. Don't grow weary in the presentation of the truth and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have a gospel today, like one brother says, sloppy agape. That's not sowing in righteousness. We're here to sow in righteousness. We're here to not only sow righteousness, but we are to sow in righteousness. And when we speak to our brother and sister, if it's because we think we're something, then I'm sowing in unrighteousness. If I'm coming and speaking to someone saying, hey, brother, you're not living right, yada, 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 I'm not sowing in righteousness. But if I come to my brother and say, listen, brother, you can't do this. You can't disobey the gospel and think you're okay with God. Now you're coming from underneath, and the spirit and the heart that you're doing it in is because of righteousness. You're sowing in righteousness. There's something in you that goes, my brother, I want you to excel. I want you to have such a life in God that you shine. And you reveal him and you move in God in the wonder of all that he is. But the spirit in which we sow into each other's life, that's the essential element of sowing in righteousness. We all know people that go around bashing other people because they think they're something. But that's not what it means to sow in righteousness. We sow, and Paul says in Galatians, he said, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, considering the weaknesses of your own heart, and with the full attitude of saying, you might have to come talk to me next week about issues in my own heart. But that's why we have this word called fellowship. We are fused together in a desire to see each other excel in the power and the love of God. So anything that's true in God will, in the ministration of the Spirit of God to you, will cause you to break up your fallow ground. God will come and show you something, and you immediately open your heart to God and say, I need the plow of your Spirit to go through my heart and make it of such a soil that you have the ability to sow into my heart, and that the thorns and thistles will have been removed. The cares of this world will not interfere with the growth and development of the seeds of Christ in you. So we have a full picture here of a desire to have a right heart, to open ourselves up to God, and in that and through that, we are able to sow in righteousness into the lives of others. So it is a, you know, what did Paul say to Timothy there? He said, the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. If the Word of God doesn't bring conviction to your own heart, don't expect His Word through you to bring conviction to another. The power of the Word has got to be tasted and felt and recognized and appreciated in your own heart. So let's just go to Hebrews 4 for a second. Hebrews 4, verse 12. And this is, you know, I used to run in circles where we had all this deep teaching, all this fellowship. But in all the fellowship that I knew in those days, there was very little conviction. Because everything we said was in God's going to do this. God's going to do this. He's going to have this. He's going to, you know. But until the Word of God comes to you in the now, there is no then. If God doesn't convict you and free you from the issues of our lives today, it doesn't matter what He intends to do tomorrow, because if my heart isn't right tomorrow, I'm not going to be a partaker of His movings. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if you're fellowshipping with one another, and we're fellowshipping with one another, God says His Word is sharp. If in the fellowship you have with one another, if there isn't a sense of conviction, if there isn't a sense of God's Word flashing and causing you to see that which is of yourself and that which is of the Spirit, it's not fellowship. Fellowship is anything that makes Jesus more real to you. And you cannot be in the presence of God and walk in pride. It is an impossibility. The Word of God will never allow the flesh to exalt itself. No man can say, oh, look what I did. Because anything that is reaped out of the sowing of the words that you pour into the lives of others is going to be on the basis of the mercy of God bringing forth fruit unto himself. And humility is another one of those fruits of the Spirit. And so as we fellowship with one another, as we encourage one another, I've had experiences where I'm fellowshipping with someone that been saved 2 days, and they'll say something in that encounter they've had with God, and I'm just like, whoa, I got to take stock in my own heart. Just the freshness of their love and their devotion to God is enough to sometimes make me just go, wow, I better renew my vows with my God. And in every life, like right here, that we're unfortunately online with, unfortunately, at least we have that option, we, in the freshness of Christ in each of us, there is a fragrance of him. I mean, just some of the things, like something Kaya shared last week, I just thought, man, that's so good. The coming together of the tabernacle out of the individual offerings of every willing-hearted Israelite. I mean, all of that is these are powerful truths that radiate in our lives. So if you're dealing with the Word of God, it's sharp, it's quick, it's powerful, and it'll continually divide in your heart that which is of yourself and that which is of God. That when you share the gospel with others, you will have a ability to sow in righteousness out of a right heart, that God may reap beautiful fruit. So just in closing, in Joshua, God says, sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders. Well, what's the secret of God doing wonders in your life and mine tomorrow? Is because we're sanctifying our hearts today. We're setting ourselves apart unto him, and we're saying, Lord, here's my heart today, because I want to sow the seeds of your grace in righteousness. I want you to have full liberty to plow under the soil of my heart, that it might be received, the freshly sown seeds of grace, that we might finish our race being fruitful unto him. Because that's what we're here for. And the day that's both of these scriptures, Jeremiah chapter 4 and Hosea chapter 10, are God's prophetic word to a generation upon which the judgments of God are about to fall. And the reason his judgments are falling is because his people have ceased to be a light. The light and the darkness have mingled. And we end up with a gospel that sows seeds to thorns and says it's okay. It's okay you got thorns in your life. It's okay. We're all human, and after all, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. It's okay. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel tells us of a love that considered our condition so grievous that God sent his son to die on our behalf. That's God's estimation of the human condition. And what love has he brought to us in the person of Jesus Christ? And so we deal with our hearts and we deal with one another out of that same love to see each other arise in the purity of all that Christ is. And what a privilege we have to bear his love and his righteousness, and to not grow weary in the way, because as Paul says in Galatians, we will reap if we faint not. Faithfulness is the hallmark of reaping.